Let us pray. Dear Father, as we come before your throne of grace, we are full of gratitude for the gift of your Son. We thank you for the Christmas Eve service on Friday, and we pray that more people will come to know the true meaning of Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. He came to heal the brokenhearted and to give rest to those who are weary and burdened. All your promises are fulfilled through Christ, and we find our purpose in your purpose, and that is to bring people from all nations to come to faith in Christ and to exalt you in all your glory. Father, we confess that we frequently feel anxious or unrest because we did not truly come to Jesus daily, walk with him, and have that deeper sense of rest with peace of God. Our Lord has invited us to take on his yoke and learn from him. His yoke is easy and his load is light, but we are frequently preoccupied by the worries of this world. So help us. Help us to turn our eyes upon Jesus, walk with him daily, and gaze upon his full glory, and everything else in this world will become dim in comparison. Father, we also pray for your comfort, strength, and healing for many families inside and outside our church that are weary or heavily burdened, including those who are still suffering from the COVID pandemic in various ways. Whether it's the loss of health or jobs, or sense of loneliness and helplessness, may we all come to Jesus daily, take on his yoke so that he can share our burdens and we can find the rest of our souls. We also pray that this is a church that can continue to disciple followers of Jesus that act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God in our communities and beyond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please remain standing. Let's turn to Matthew 11, 28 to 30. We'll use the ESV version. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is a reading of God's word. Please be seated. Again, welcome to the RCCC English service. I hope many of you also joined us in the celebration of our Lord Jesus on Friday during the Christmas Eve service. And it's good to see all of you either in person in the Charis Chapel or online. Now today, my sermon is True Rest. The title of my sermon today is True Rest. Now what is true rest? As we approach the end of the year, many of us feel that we need to relax, we need to rest, and we need to be recharged. After a year of very hard work and stress, lots of stress during the pandemic. And personally, rest also comes to my mind a lot as I'm about to step down from the role of an active elder after serving 7 years. So, what comes to your mind when I mention the word rest? Some of you might come up with a picture of sitting on the beach in Aruba, sipping tropical drinks. And if you are parents with little children, maybe you're craving just for a night of sleep with no interrupts, and you consider that rest. And for some others, all you need is a cup of coffee in the early morning when it's raining or snowing. So people come up with different pictures of rest. But what is the idea of rest in this passage we have in Matthew 11, 28 to 30? I'm going to summarize it as the main idea for today's sermon. True rest, if we can bring up slide 3, I guess, true rest is found in a close relationship with the person, Jesus. True rest is found in a close relationship with the person, Jesus. In this close relationship is walking with him day by day to fulfill his purpose in you. So again, true rest is not about doing something. It's about a person, coming to a person, Jesus. We have 3 divisions today. I want to give you quick highlights, and we'll go into details later. And these 3 divisions are all based on Jesus' words. First is come to me. He said, if you come to me, he will give you rest, and you have peace with God. The second thing is, he said, take my yoke. That means to become his disciple, and you'll find rest for your soul, having the peace of God. And we'll talk about the difference between peace of God and peace with God. And the third thing, also from Jesus, he said, my yoke is easy. It's well-fitting, and he shares your burdens as we live out God's purpose according to his design for each one of you, for each one of us. So very simple, 3 points. Come to me, take my yoke, and my yoke is easy, all based on the words of Jesus. First point, come to me. Now in verse 28, Jesus said, those who are weary and heavily burdened should come to him. So before we talk about rest, we need to talk about burdens. And it's like a yoke. Now, I understand that there are very many young people here who have never seen a yoke in your lifetime. So I'm going to bring up a picture. Can we show the picture of the yoke? Thank you. So typically, a yoke is a wooden piece fitted on the oxen for the purpose of guiding them as they carry the load or plow the field. And in the Bible, it also frequently refers to subjection and oppression, like how Israelites were enslaved by the Egyptians. So when we think about the yoke, a lot of times the first thing that comes to our mind is very heavy burden. Now with the ongoing pandemic and the latest Omicron variant that's rapidly spreading across the country and the globe. And yesterday I checked that in New Jersey, it's 16,000 cases per day. Many of us feel very tired, exhausted, not again, and very weary this year. Now, on top of the demands also of the daily jobs, many also have family responsibilities, even some health problems that we have to deal with. I was talking to a brother. He said that he's in the sandwich generation. Do you know what that means? The sandwich generation. He said that he has to raise his children who are becoming teenagers with their own challenges. And then he also has to care for his aging parents. And he sometimes just feels that he doesn't have any time for rest. And then I was talking to another brother. We're just doing a prayer walk together, and he said that every day he had to not only work from 9 to 5 at home, but also to be on conference calls with people from different countries, sometimes Korea, India, multiple time zones. So for many of our brothers and sisters, there's just no rest. So, or maybe some of you are having a difficult relationship with your family members or co-workers And that broken relationships is weighing you down. So everyone has a different yoke, or some kind of heavy burden on your heart. But today, in this passage, it's talking about yet another kind of yoke. It was referring to the yoke that the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, the scribes, are putting on the Jews, with all the additional rules they invented over the years on top of the Mosaic laws, the first five books of the Bible. They were told, follow these rules if you want to be acceptable by God. And some of them were actually invented by themselves. For example, they might say, on Sabbath, don't walk more than, for example, 1 mile. And if you do that, if you want to walk more than 1 mile, you have to stop at someone's house and then walk again. All these strange rules, they become a big burden, a yoke on God's people. But they do want to be acceptable by God. And many of us want to have peace with God. And we know what kind of feeling it is, right? It's very unsettled when you don't have peace with someone. It's even worse when the person is your boss. Imagine going to work every day, feeling that your boss is not satisfied with what you're doing. And no matter how hard you try, it's never good enough. But your boss is nothing compared to the Almighty God, who has the absolute authority on your eternal destiny. So you want to have peace with God. But our God is also a loving God, as we read early on in the call to worship. He's a loving God, abound with mercy and grace and compassion. And that's why he gave us his son. And that's why we celebrated the birth of Jesus this past Christmas Eve. But why would his son bring us peace? Jesus said, come to me, and I will give you rest. And that's a groundbreaking thought compared to saying, do this and do that, and then you'll be acceptable by God. So what kind of rest is that? It's not based on your work. It's based on his own finished work on the cross. It's not about fulfilling all the religious obligations. It's about coming to him, a person, trusting that he paid the price fully, price for our sins fully and completely. So recently I saw some news that really touched my heart. There was a small airplane that had a crash landing. On that airplane was a father. And the father was holding a baby girl. And while the plane was crashing, the father held the baby very tightly, the baby girl. So the father was taking all the beating as the plane crashed. But miraculously, the baby girl survived. And when I heard that news, it just reminds me of what Jesus did on the cross. He took all the beating, and his work is finished because he was perfect, and his work is perfect. So when the work is done perfectly, all you have to do is sit back, relax, and gaze upon it. It's almost like Leonardo da Vinci painting Mona Lisa, right? Once that is done, the perfect work, there is no need for another stroke on that painting. You just gaze upon its beauty. So that's the kind of peace with God we can have when we come to Jesus and accept what he does, what he did on the cross for us. It's not about doing this and that to fulfill all the religious obligations. It's about the person, Jesus. You would never have this unsettled feeling. Am I good enough? Will God accept me because I don't think I'm good enough? Because it's not based on what you did. It's based on what Christ did on the cross. So it gives you that peace of God without carrying that heavy workload like the yoke. So in Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a promise. And sometimes, unfortunately, we still create our own yoke. We may measure ourselves against other success stories. And we may measure ourselves against a pile of expectations. And not only that, we might convey that to others and put another yoke on other people, on our family members, our co-workers, without knowing it. And whenever we say that you need to be doing these things for me to accept you, it's against what Jesus said here. Coming to him as a person. So what does it mean to come to a person when to find a true rest? I think about my son, Jason. Jason frequently likes to find rest when he is cuddled in the arms of his dad or mom. And every time he actually reminds me, that's the kind of rest we have in Jesus. It's found in the person. It's not trying to prove how good you are. Jason doesn't need to prove anything to me because he is my son. And every one of us here, if you come to Jesus in faith, you are a child of God. You don't need to prove anything. And that's the good news. I remember that when Jason was young, a lot of aunties and uncles would give him the red envelopes. And during Chinese New Year, and he would just throw the red envelopes away because he didn't feel he needed any money. He was more interested in some calendars and books. And then I realized he was right because everything he needed, his father would provide. He really didn't need the money. And that's what we feel when we come and rest in Jesus. He is the person that fulfills all the promises God has in the Bible. He's the one where you find true rest, peace with God. It's a rest free from bondage of sins, worry about punishments. It's a rest free from accusations of Satan that say, you are not good enough. In God's eyes, you are his son or daughter, as if he saw Christ. So that's the good news, the first point. Second point, Jesus said, take my yoke. Take my yoke. Now, we're very thankful that Jesus removed the yoke of the Pharisees, but in verse 29, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. So wait, are we back to carrying another heavy burden again? How should we interpret this? We need to know that in the biblical times, taking someone's yoke can also mean to become a disciple of that person. So can we bring up that picture again? The yoke. So you see there are two oxen, right? So typically, one of them will be older, more experienced. So the other one, by yoking a younger one, by yoking with the older one, he will learn from the older one who had years of practice and routine. And the younger one didn't have to figure out where to go, he would just follow the older one. And not only that, the older one typically will carry heavier workload. And that's discipleship. When Jesus said, take my yoke, learn from me. In verse 29, learn from me. You can think about this picture. A more experienced ox taking a younger, less experienced one So learn, that younger one will learn from the older one, which also takes more workload. And if we yoke with Jesus, he said we learn from him, and he's gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And what does it mean that Jesus was lowly in heart, or being humble? It's a deeper sense of rest when you submit to him, when you serve him, when you become more like Jesus, because he also submits to our Father with all his decisions, with all his ministries, and he is the perfect image of who God is. Now, you might say, I don't want to be yoked to anything. I just want total freedom. But the fact is that many of us are already yoked to something. The question is, with who or with what you want to be yoked to? If you are not yoked with Jesus, you may be yoked with something much less desirable. A person may be yoked to drinking or gambling habits, or he may be yoked to insatiable desire for power or money. At the end, someone is usually yoked to something. But when you come to Jesus, he promises you that your soul will find rest. Now, when do you think your souls find unrest or feel anxious? We feel anxious when we have broken relationships with those that we care deeply about. We feel anxious when we lack self-esteem. We feel anxious when we feel that we have no control on what is about to happen. Especially, we're anxious when we have to make decisions that may have grave consequences if we make the wrong ones. And this is why you need the peace of God, not just the peace with God. How do you get the peace of God? Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So this is the time when we don't talk about the difference between peace with God and peace of God. God promised that when you come to Jesus and take his yoke, you have this peace of God. One way to draw the analogy is think about a criminal. A criminal who committed a serious offense against someone who was kind to him. And one example could be John in the story, Les Mis, by Victor Hugo. Right? Legally, this person, John, was released because of the kindness of that bishop who also forgave him for stealing his silverware. So legally, just like us, when we're forgiven by Jesus, legally, we were free. But that person, John, it would take him some time to develop the characters of that bishop. And each one of us, it would take some time for us to have that characters of Jesus, to have that true peace of God inside us. So the first step, you come to Jesus in faith, knowing what he did on the cross, allow you to be forgiven by God. So legally, now you have peace with God. But to have that peace of God, you need to become the disciple of Jesus. You need to walk with him, learn from him day by day. Just like what's described in Philippians 4, 6 to 7, then you can have that peace of God. Yes, it takes time. It takes the help of the Holy Spirit. But the first step is to take on the yoke of Jesus and follow him, just like that picture. Now, Jesus said, I'm gentle, I'm lowly in heart or humble. When we think about Jesus as a humble servant, we know that we need to be like him. So what does that mean? I think many of us are very familiar with that story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Right? Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And I want you to know that Jesus was never confused about his identity as the Lord, the Savior, the Son of God. He was never confused of that. He never had a self-esteem issue. But he recognized there was a need among the disciples. The feet were dirty. So and nobody wanted to do anything about that. So he lowered himself to wash their feet. So once I was in a meeting with a pastor from India. I respect this pastor a lot. He served faithfully in the mission field in his church for many years. He helped disciple a lot of people. So I asked him, what do you think is the spiritual meaning of Jesus washing the disciples' feet? We all recognize physically what that meant. What's the spiritual meaning? He said, you know, a lot of our co-workers, when they first joined the ministry, they did not agree with me. And sometimes they made a lot of mistakes. And when that happens, instead of kicking them out of my ministry, I will patiently try to win them back, to explain my reasoning on why we did certain things. And to me, that's washing the disciples' feet. And this reminds me of how Jesus treated Peter, who made quite a few number of mistakes and even rejected Jesus 3 times. But at the end, Jesus asked him, do you still love me? Do you love me? He won him back. And just like Peter, this pastor told me that many of these people who originally disagreed with him became his most dedicated co-workers in the ministry later on because he was patient, he was gentle in winning them back. So discipleship is about taking his yoke upon us, learning from him day by day, for he is gentle and humble. We'll find rest for our souls. We'll not be anxious. And we'll have the peace of God in us, knowing that we are his and we are secure in his hands, even as we face challenges and trials in our life. So now we come to the third point, which is also surprising because Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. Now, many of us will be surprised because we know that following Jesus and serving in the ministry, sometimes could be pretty hard. So how could Jesus say that my yoke is easy? So there are 2 things we need to understand. The first thing is the word easy also means well-fitting. So if we can bring up the picture of the yoke again, the 2 things we need to know about the yoke. The first thing is that if you look at that yoke, it's custom designed to fit the oxen very well. Actually, I forgot to bring, I was going to bring a sleeping pillow you put on the airplane. Now, if it's too big or too small, you don't even feel comfortable, even for sleeping. But think about the oxen, if they have to do so much work, the owner or the master will try to make sure the yoke is well-fitting. And God has a perfect design for each one of us. He has a purpose for us. It's custom made and tailor made for each one of us. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is that his yoke is easy. Remember the second point. The older one, the more experienced one, usually carries more workload. So when you yoke with Christ, he shares his burden with you. He shares your burden with him. So when you have heavy burdens, you come to Christ in prayer. He will lift you up because you are co-yoking with Him. So let's come back to this custom-made yoke. Every one of us has talents and gifts God bestowed on us. It could be very different. If you are a Ferrari, you know, from Italy, you will not be totally satisfied until you are racing. If you are a car, I don't know, a school bus designed by God, you will not be happy until you carry school children around. So everyone came with a different design, even different life experiences. And God is going to use all of them for His purpose. If you look around our church, some are very good with administration, with planning, and allow us to meet safely, regularly, took care of a lot of the administrative details. Some are musical, some are artistic, and some are good with the teaching of God's word. So everybody has a different purpose in God's kingdom. And that's why Jesus said, "My yoke is easy." When you find His purpose in Him, when you follow Him and co-yoke with Him, the Lord is light. Now, that doesn't mean that you will not have hardships in your life. But He promised that with the help of the Spirit, you will be able to handle it. I want to share a story with you. Because a lot of you are going to say, life is really not easy. Life is hard and very challenging. You don't know all the trials I'm going through. And that's true. I have several trials of my own. You see, it's not to come to Jesus just in the beginning by faith. It's to walk with Jesus daily, especially when life is hard or challenging. I want to share a story about a missionary called Lilius Trotter. If you can bring up the last slide. Lilius Trotter. So I think many of you are familiar with the song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus," which was really inspired by the story of Lilius. She was a missionary to Algeria. And she was actually a great artist by training. And one day she attended Moody's evangelistic meeting in London. And after that, she decided to answer God's calling and to devote her life to missions. And for that, she had to give up on her artist career. And afterwards, the call to go to North Africa became more and more clear to her. But because of her health, she was rejected by the missions board. And eventually, she had to support herself and be considered not a full-time missionary, but someone that works in harmony, quote-unquote, in harmony with the missionaries. And that's how she was able to go. For several years, she worked very hard in the mission field in Algeria, and she learned Arabic. And she described it as like hitting the stone wall. For many years, she couldn't make any progress until they started a children ministry. And from that children ministry, they were able to connect to some Muslim women. And from there, they began to have some believers. But this reminds me of our children ministry at Hilltop. But as her health was not great, with a frail body, she was struggling to keep up with the ministry demands. So one day she was walking on a hill near some woods. Now she saw a withering dandelion, like this big, a withering dandelion. And that also reminded her of her own body health. But as the sun was rising on the east from the cliff, a ray of light hit the dandelion. And this dandelion, withering dandelion, suddenly turned into a golden star in the dark woods. And then she realized, as she turns her face, even in the midst of great difficulties, as she turns her face to Jesus, she will be transformed. She will be filled with His glory. And that's how many Christians, when they face challenges in life, not looking at their surrounding difficulties, but focusing on Jesus to regain the strength and to see His glory. Yes, we came to Jesus in faith, and He gave us rest. We took on His yoke to submit to Him as we enter a deeper sense of rest by learning from Him. That eventually, as one sister told me, it's the continued worship of our God, gazing upon His beauty and His glory, that will sustain us, will transform us, will transfigure us, and sustain that ministry that He calls us to. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank You. We thank You that we can find our rest, our peace with God by coming to the person Christ. Not by meeting some religious obligations. We pray for our friends and seekers among us who might still not know You. May they receive Your peace. May they receive the peace we have by coming to Christ in faith, knowing that our sins are forgiven and we are reconciled with our Heavenly Father and the mighty Creator. May the Spirit guide us as we take on Your yoke and enter a deeper sense of rest by learning from Jesus, who is gentle and humble. May each one of us find our true purpose in You according to Your design, and we may find our true satisfaction in You as we answer Your calling and as we gaze upon Your beauty and walk with our Lord day by day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.